Welcome to the Into the Wild podcast, where we'll be interviewing outdoor junkies like ourselves about their experiences in nature. We hope to use this platform to continue learning and growing as both individuals and as an organization. We hope that you will accompany us on this journey of understanding the thrills others seek in the outdoors, the incredible memories and learning opportunities that can come from suffering experiences, and how the conversations we have can begin to make the outdoors a more just and equitable space for all people.
All right. So this episode, we will be talking with Julia Jenick, a former Into the Wild leader. We are so happy and excited to welcome you onto the KSU Into the Wild podcast today, virtually through Zoom. If you want to start off and share a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to the audience.
Of course. Thanks, Jules. Hi, everyone. I'm Julia. I am currently in Seattle, Washington, moved here in August, and otherwise graduated from Santa Clara in 2021 and joined Into the Wild as a leader during my sophomore year. Some of my favorite things to do in Seattle since moving here are rock climbing, road biking, and mountain biking, and have a nice community of people out here who do that as well. And some of my favorite things to do when I was at Santa Clara were probably hiking and mountain biking. Hiking and rock climbing. Didn't get into mountain biking or road biking until a little bit later, but does have ties to Into the Wild too. And when I'm not playing outside, I am working as a sustainability consultant, which was in a lot of ways inspired by my time studying environmental science at Santa Clara. So that's a little, brief overview.
Amazing. Thank you. We're so happy to have you on today. To get the ball rolling, we'd love if you could share some of your fondest memories with Into the Wild, any favorite trips or like any traditions with the team, anything like that.
Yeah, of course.
It's a big question.
One of my favorite trips was actually kind of a unique one. It was a mountain biking trip, actually. And most of the trips I was on and most of the trips I was leading were hiking or backpacking. But I went on a mountain bike trip. I think maybe it was my sophomore year. I had never mountain biked before in my life. And actually, I was, I think, assigned a leader on this trip. I was leading it with Pierce and Nick Fazio. And they were kind of the head leaders. And I was, I think, a leader in training. And so was going to join them on this trip. So we drove down to Santa Cruz and it was me and maybe 10 other people. And we went mountain biking in Wilder Ranch. And it was, you know, a wild time. I had never mountain biked before. First time getting into it. Definitely parts of it were felt uncomfortable or scary, but felt so supported by not only the leaders, but then also the other, you know, people on the trip. And that trip, then, even though after that, I didn't mountain bike at all anymore sophomore year, I didn't mountain bike junior year, I didn't mountain bike senior year, after graduating from Santa Clara, I decided I wanted to get myself into mountain biking. I'd been road biking a bunch and was kind of, I don't know, fed up with all things road biking, the cars and the road bike culture and the spandex and the attitudes and the everything. And so I turned to biking on dirt and took myself out on this mountain bike that I had gotten for free from a family friend and took myself down to Wilder. And I retraced the steps that I had done with the team 3 years prior. And texted Pierce and texted Nick that same day. And I said, hey, I just went on this trail that we went on a couple years ago and had the most amazing time. And then since then, mountain biking has been one of my favorite things to do, and had the confidence to almost reteach myself how to do this sport, had the confidence to go out by myself and explore these trails because of that initial time with those people. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that was probably my favorite trip.
That's amazing. Do you still mountain bike with, or just by yourself, or do you go with other people now?
Now I have some community that I mountain bike with, and a good community that I road bike with too. That's actually been something I've been trying to work on more recently. This is, I guess, a little bit of an aside, but when I was at Santa Clara and I was in Into the Wild, I was hiking, I was backpacking, I was biking, climbing, primarily with other people. There was so much of a community of people that were all around me all the time. And so my ability to access those things was so easy. My ability to access those things with other people was, you know, right at my fingertips all the time. I graduated from Santa Clara and was still living in the Bay Area for a little bit. Then I was living in Boulder for a little bit and then moved to Seattle and knew some people, but was forming my own community. And so I got really used to doing things by myself and I loved it. I loved doing things by myself, taking myself out road biking, mountain biking, bouldering. Obviously can't do too much rock climbing by myself, but, you know, even just exploring the city or exploring a new place, I took pride in my independence. I took pride in my ability to go out and do those things for myself. But now that I have a community in these places, I'm trying to tap back into sharing those experiences with other people, letting go some control, which is hard for me at times, but letting go some control to be able to go out and bike with others, let them choose the route, let them decide when we're pausing or let, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe we're staying somewhere a little bit longer than I would have myself. Maybe we're doing a different route than I would have myself. But striking a better balance, because I think there was a period of time when I was all in this community. I was never really doing things by myself, a period of time in which I was only doing things independently. And now I'm trying to strike a balance between those things. So yes, mountain biking with others, road biking with others, and climbing with others too.
So Julia, that was really awesome to hear about mountain biking. And I'm curious, was there anything else that you tried for the first time through Into the Wild or at Santa Clara, similar to mountain biking, where, you know, you're going with a group or with leaders? Because sometimes, you know, when you try something new, you do want to do it with a group of people rather than alone, because there's people who might be more experienced and can show you, you know, the ropes as to how to do something. So was there any other skill that you learned from Into the Wild, like mountain biking?
Yeah. I would say, although it wasn't, you know, formally organized on trips through the community, through leaders and other, you know, participants on the trip, I got connected with people who were into rock climbing. And so then through that Into the Wild community was connected with people who had experience, had knowledge, and had gear to take me out and go rock climbing, either bouldering or top roping or sport climbing, whatever it was. You know, they had the knowledge and the gear and opened up the, you know, made that sport more accessible to me in a way that it otherwise wouldn't have been. And so that, I think that's the thing that can be a little bit tricky sometimes with some of these outdoor sports. With some of them, it is easier to get into it independently. Of course, there's always the barrier of getting the gear, getting out to the trails or getting to where you want to be, you know, getting the road bike, getting the mountain bike, not cheap, something I'm trying to figure out for myself right now. But with climbing, there is this, it felt like there were these other barriers that I couldn't necessarily overcome myself to get into the sport. And so finding, you know, somewhat informal mentorship in that space through the Into the Wild community, people who were, you know, teaching me how to set up some of the gear and some of the ropes, how to look at different routes and figure out what I wanted to be climbing and what I didn't want to be climbing, where I wanted to be exploring and where I didn't in the area. That was super invaluable. And it's something that I, since leaving Santa Clara and since leaving Into the Wild, have tried to figure out, and I'm kind of struggling to figure out for myself, are ways in which you find like outdoor mentorship, especially for me looking for female outdoor mentorship in those sports where there are additional barriers, right? Backcountry skiing or rock climbing, where you need some level of partnership. I can mountain bike by myself. I can road bike by myself, hiking, you know, any of those things. Of course, different safety. It's, you know, better to be out there with other people, but I, you know, there aren't as many barriers for me to get into those things independently. Things like rock climbing and backcountry skiing, I need some level of mentorship, guidance, and just people who are out there having my back too. And so that's something I've sort of struggled finding. Once you are away from this community, then how are you creating that sort of mentorship? How are you finding that for yourself in, you know, whatever spaces you're existing in? And there are so many opportunities out there. There are so many amazing organizations and also like women in my community who want to, you know, serve as a mentor to other people, but it takes more work. So it's something I'm grateful that I had with those sports.
So you mentioned that you're in Washington right now, kind of going off what you're saying right now, like you want to find that community to do those new things with. When you were growing up, did you grow up in Washington, and what did the outdoors look like to you growing up? Like, were you skiing? Were you hiking? Were you doing any of that, or was Into the Wild the introduction to all of it?
Yeah, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and I was really lucky to grow up there. But actually didn't start biking really or climbing until I got to California. So growing up in Boulder, I spent a lot of time hiking, spent a lot of time backpacking. One of my favorite jobs, I think it'll continue to be one of my favorite jobs throughout my life. It was this trail maintenance job. The city of Boulder hired a bunch of high school students each summer to be part of this program called Junior Rangers. And we worked on, you know, trail maintenance tasks across all these trail networks in Boulder. It was a brilliant job, but I was surrounded by these teenagers who were so active in the outdoors with their families, so active on the trails. And so that really inspired me. And so that got me into I guess that just piqued my interest in climbing and backpacking. And I remember I went back to my dad and was expressing this interest, and I'm so grateful that he then heard me expressing that interest and then got into that with me. So that really strengthened my relationship with my dad, strengthened my relationship with the outdoors, and then, you know, in a way, in a lot of ways, led me to wanting to be a leader in Into the Wild, and wanting to really dig into and engage in that community. And also then empowered me and inspired me to approach these sports that were going to be new to me in the coming years in similar ways, where, you know, he had sort of showed me what it looked like to get into a sport and, you know, get into it thoughtfully and approach it, in a way that worked really well for us. And so then taking that and feeling empowered to do the same with other sports later on.
I love to hear that, because I actually have a very similar story. I feel like my dad was a big part of getting me into the outdoors, and it was like a big family thing, but I feel like he was a big driver in that. So it's super special to hear that you had something similar.
Yes, yes. In every sport along the way, there are key people where I'm like, yep, that person really was integral in making me feel comfortable in this space, making me feel fired up to improve, to get stronger, to go further, to whatever it might be, to paddle harder. I was never really into surfing, but you know, if you are, to paddle harder. So it's cool to reflect back and smile and think about those people who got you to where you are.
Totally. Backtracking a little bit, I'm curious as to where you started to find your outdoor community. Me being from Seattle as well, I know that there are tons of people that love the outdoors, but at least for me, it was hard to find people outside of school that I could go participate in these fun activities with. So what steps did you take, or how did you find that community in Seattle?
Yeah, that's a great question. In this period when I was doing things by myself quite a bit, I was living in Boulder. So I was back after graduating, I was back in Boulder. I had a knee surgery. I had a torn meniscus that I had to get surgery on. So I was back in Boulder for a while. And for anyone who's had a knee surgery, or really maybe, I wouldn't say any surgery. I'd say knee surgery. The first thing your PT will say is swim some laps. And the second thing your PT will say is ride a bike, besides doing your PT exercises. And so I was riding my bike, my road bike, quite a bit in Boulder. And of course I had grown up in Boulder, but didn't really have too much of a close community there anymore. A lot of my friends had left. A lot of my friends were in California or on the West Coast. And so what I started doing over the summer in Boulder as I was recovering was, there were, I was familiar with a couple different bike shops and community organizations that hosted weekly bike rides. And so I would show up to those and I would meet people And I'd explore new parts of Boulder on the bike, and I would go on maybe like gravel biking trails or mountain biking trails that I otherwise wouldn't have known about. So that started in Boulder, and it was a good place to start doing that because it feels a bit bold to put yourself out there, show up at a community event knowing no one. But I was doing it in a general location, in a space that I felt really comfortable with, in a place that I knew really well. And I knew these community organizations because I'd been going to these bike shops since I was a little kid. So when I came to Seattle, I sort of replicated that. I remember showing up to a bike shop and I was asking questions, straight up just asking questions to the bike mechanic. Hey, I'm new here. How would you recommend, you know, are there community rides, or how would you recommend I get involved? And they were like, oh yeah, go on this website. This one guy, like, you know, posts every week about all these rides that are happening in the community. Okay, cool. Sounds good. So then I would show up to one of those rides, or I'd bring maybe one of my friends along who I knew, and we'd show up together. So there are a lot of community events and organizations that are happening. And there is a sort of boldness that's required to show up in those spaces. And those spaces sometimes feel really welcoming, sometimes don't, especially if you're road biking. Sometimes you show up to a road bike ride and people are looking to fly. People are looking to bike so fast. And that's not really my speed. I call myself a play biker, where I love just playing around. I love exploring. I love for it to be fun and playful.
Yeah.
And sometimes showing up to these community rides, that's not the intention. Some people are looking to pedal fast and pedal hard and move some miles. And that's great, but that's not always my speed. And so I think that's another part that can be a little bit tricky,
mm-hmm.
about navigating this sort of community event spaces. You know, sometimes they aren't always going to be your speed or what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But that was useful for me in sort of getting my feet on the ground. And I think also this is something I feel actually pretty passionate about, because this hasn't always been the case for me in relationships that I've had with people, is being willing to take a step back from the intensity of a sport to increase the level of engagement or accessibility of the sport to other people. When I was getting into road biking, I was road biking with a couple of different people who were really passionate about it, really into it, and were looking to perform at a really high level. They were looking to be climbing steep hills and biking fast and racing down and around and ever. And yeah, I tried to hang with them for a bit. I tried to keep up. I tried to do the same thing because I thought that's what it needed to be and what it needed to look like. But I think that sort of pushed me away from the sport at times too. And it made me feel like I didn't always belong in those spaces and couldn't always keep up, and that maybe it like wasn't, you know, these roads weren't for me to bike on. I actually should just, I don't know, find something else. And so I think that's something I've been working on in Seattle as well, as I've had friends who, they know I'm so passionate about biking. They know I love it. And so they want to do it with me. They want to get into this sport that I can't stop raving about. And I just think then for me to have this understanding of like, okay, there are some times when I'm looking to train on the bike, I'm looking to be biking hard and biking fast and trying to get stronger and better. And that's great. And there's a time and place for that. There's also a time and place for it to be playful and fun and about being with community and being with people, as opposed to gaining something in this
mm-hmm.
activity physically. And so I think that's something I've really been thinking about too, is building that community. It's about more than just the biking. At the end of the day, I'm like pedaling my legs in a circular motion. I shouldn't take it so seriously. If I'm able to play with my friends mm-hmm. and involve them and look back at them biking and they're smiling and they're raving about it and they're creating a Strava so they can post and give kudos and all that, you know? Okay, that's great. That's more brilliant than me logging a 60-mile ride and like sitting on my couch the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's something I've shifted my perspective. And not everyone feels that way, but the people I invest in the relationship with these days are people who have that same attitude.
Yeah, it sounds like you found a really great balance. And I love the Strava shout out, because I'm training for a marathon right now, and I've like taken a Strava in such like a different way than I feel like a lot of people. Like, they're trying to compete and like show off, and it's like I'm just trying to have fun and just like share what I love, and like that I'm doing fun things and like having fun with it. Like, I have a friend that we do our long runs together, and it's just like I love taking like the 0.5s and just like showing how happy it's making us, and it's not like a competition.
Yes. I think Jules, I see you're leaning in a little bit, but I think Strava is such an interesting, interesting space, because the one thing that I think it can do is it can show, okay, we're showing up, we're being playful, it's not so serious. And it can show, for me, I was just telling someone this the other day, you know how you can name your bike on Strava, or you can name your, I don't know if you can do this for running, but you can name your bike on Strava. And when I was getting into biking, and these people were making me feel sometimes like I didn't exist, you know, like I couldn't keep up in the space. Not that it wasn't a space I could be in or exist in, I could, but that at the time I couldn't keep up in the space. I decided to name my bike JJ's Revenge. And my whole thing was like,
I love that.
I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you, you know, and you being at the time, I was only biking with guys. I'm going to show you that I can bike just as much as you. I can bike just as hard as you. I can bike those miles. I can climb those climbs. And I'm having fun while I'm doing it. And I'm looking good while I'm doing it. And I'm confident. And I'm doing it with other people. And I have a community. And JJ's Revenge is like me coming back and kind of throwing this in their face a little bit. And being like, you made me feel like I didn't belong here. And now look at me. I'm playing and I'm having fun. And I'm riding the miles and I'm doing it all. JJ's Revenge. This is it. And I think that that's where it can be kind of a cool space, especially I think for women coming into this sport that is primarily, you know, dominated by men, or at least in which the light has been shining on men for so much longer in a competitive way, in the competitive sort of landscape of the sport. And just to say, yeah, we're here, we're doing it too. And we look good doing it, and we feel good doing it, and like, let's go.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear, because I used Strava before, but then I deleted it because I'm a really competitive person, and it was taking away the fun that I was, like, I would go on these fun biking or running trips, and then I would Strava it and be competing with myself or whoever I was following, so I had to delete it. But it's inspiring to hear, you know, both of your stories about it, because you know, I Into the Wild has been amazing for me because I'm able to go on these trips and take away all of the competition and appreciate the beauty and the community of nature and the hikes that we're going on, and really engage with the people that I'm with and just understand that, you know, nature can be this place where we can go and we don't have to do these insane expeditions. We can really go on a nice leisurely walk or, you know, an intense hike and push ourselves, but we can also just appreciate it for what it is. And that's what I've loved about Into the Wild. But it's nice to hear that, you know, you can also prove yourself in a fun, loving way in Strava as well.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's really beautiful. And the reality is it does serve as a distraction, right? Like when I am on the bike and I'm looking at the miles and I'm looking at the map and which route I want to take and how much I've done. And it does serve as a distraction from maybe if I were to go out on a bike ride without my phone or with the intention of just sort of exploring without a clear set route in mind, well, then I would probably experience that ride, especially if it was with other people, in a totally different way than if I was tracking things, where I was going, where I wanted to go, how long it was going to take, what it was going to look like at the end when I download this, you know, map to my Strava, whatever it might be. So it does serve as a distraction too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it can be really beautiful to have a, you know, variety of things that you have access to. Some things you're tracking, some things you're not. Some things you're doing by yourself, some things you're doing in community. And that balance, I think I've appreciated recently. This is off, but I've found a way to work it into almost every conversation recently because I think it's so amazing. when I was at Santa Clara, I was working in the Forge Garden. So I was an apprentice and then sort of interim manager as I was kind of rolling out, graduating, and then, you know, leaving Santa Clara. So I thought a lot about food, usually in the context of growing it and a more sustainable food system. But then as I got into moving my body more junior year and senior year, different, you know, things started to creep into my mind about, okay, what am I going to the gym? Am I lifting weights? Do I like doing that? What sorts of sports or activities do I like doing? A lot of people are running. Well, I don't really know if I want to be doing that. What am I eating then to nourish my body? If you start, you know, working out or moving your body in a certain way, then I feel like it's quite natural for you to want your body to look a certain way or perform a certain way. So then how am I pairing that with thoughts about food and eating? So it turned into my brain only ever thinking about food really as food production and growing and sustainable food systems, to thinking about it in a more personal way. What activities am I doing? How do I want my body to look and perform and act? And what am I eating? And it's a slippery slope. And I actually got so much support from so many women in Into the Wild in a really beautiful way in sort of thinking about this more critically, asking different conversations and things like that. And this one girl I had a conversation with, we were talking about it in the garden, and she said she had listened to a podcast and they said, what's a food that you love that loves you back? So what's a food that you eat that you love that when you eat it, you feel really good, loves you back? So I'm thinking about all these veggies that we're growing in the garden, all this food, you know, and she said the garden really helped her with that, that you put so much love and care into this food and then you harvest it and you want to make an amazing meal. And it's at that point, it's, you know, it'd be disrespectful to boil it down to calories. You just spent months growing this food. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're going to eat it and enjoy it and prepare it with this love and this care. And it's like nourishing. And I remember we chatted about that. And then I went down to Santa Cruz and I mountain biked. And I was having a great day mountain biking. And I remember I called her. I was on, Westcliff? That sort of Westcliff in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
I was walking along Westcliff and I called her and I go, Ayla, you know, what you were sharing earlier about food, I think the same thing is true with moving your body. What is an activity? What's this outdoor sport? What's a way you move your body that you love, that loves you back? And in that moment, mountain biking loved me back. I loved it and it loved me back. My legs felt so tired, but they felt so strong. I felt so good. And I think that I have continued to think about that with regard to my relationship with food and the relationship with moving my body. What are foods and what are ways that you're moving your body that you love, that love you back? Especially if you do those two things in tandem. That has been key for me as I've navigated the space of Strava and I've navigated the space of getting into new sports and I've navigated physical therapy and going to the gym and lifting weights and going climbing and mountain biking versus road biking. Sometimes one of them really is driving me up a wall. It's not making me happy. So then I transition to another. So that I just had to work that in because I think that's so key. That's been so key for me in my relationship with those things.
Yeah, no, that works. That works perfectly. And I will definitely take that wisdom with me and, you know, my day-to-day life.
So just to kind of wrap up what you're just saying, I just really appreciate what, like, all the advice you just gave. And I think any female and male listeners would really appreciate what you said, just like in today's society. And just thank you for that beautiful wisdom. But we're going to try to shift gears a little bit and talk more about your career path now, as we don't have too much time left.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. And still with your career path, even and what you were kind of getting at with mental health in today's world, with all of the pressures of society, how did you find the job that you have now and, you know, the pressure of your career path, and what did that look like for you? Was it pretty linear? Did you know what you wanted to do, and how are you enjoying it?
Yeah. That's great. So I mentioned this a bit ago, but when I was at Santa Clara, I was working as an apprentice at the Forge Garden and was, you know, really loving honing in on the skill of gardening and sustainable food production, especially in the context of, you know, community engagement and sustainable agriculture education. So when I graduated from Santa Clara, I graduated with a degree in environmental science and stuck around Santa Clara for 6 months, maybe 6 to 9 months after graduating, to continue working at the garden. And during that time, I was no longer in school and I was just focusing on all things gardening, sustainable agriculture, and then, you know, all things mountain biking and road biking outside of that. I was, you know, living in San Jose and driving down to Santa Cruz. I can't even tell you how many days a week to go to Wilder Ranch. But I was so focused on gardening and sustainable agriculture. And I realized in that time that while I was in school, there were sort of two Julias that were able to be satisfied and fulfilled. Garden Julia and climate science, data analytics, research Julia, one in the garden and one in the classroom. And that was great. And when I graduated, Garden Julia was more than satisfied. She was, you know, a kid in the candy shop managing that garden, being in that space. But the sort of climate science, academic, analytical Julia wasn't quite as satisfied. So I started to look for opportunities in really primarily corporate sustainability consulting. I think it's easy at Santa Clara and in the Bay Area to get wrapped up in the corporate consulting space. A lot of people were talking about it. A lot of people were applying for those types of jobs. And so I sort of went in that direction too. And I'm really glad that I did, because it's something that I was so curious about, and something that has really increased my exposure to what is happening in the sustainability world, and, you know, across different industries, what's happening. So I started working at a sustainability consultancy, a corporate sustainability consultancy, doing all sorts of work. If a company needs to do the math on how much they're emitting in terms of greenhouse gases in a year, they might come, you know, to my company for some help. If they need to write a report to investors about what their sustainability strategy is, they might come to my company. If they want to change their packaging to a more sustainable alternative, they might come to my company. So it's a really, when I say my company, I just mean the company I'm working for. I'm not spearheading anything yet. But it's been a really great experience to get exposure to what is happening across the industry, to develop these different skills, to become more confident using these different technical tools. So this academic, analytical climate science Julia is so satisfied, but Garden Julia got left behind in the process. And recently I've talked some friends into letting me, I'm living in a tiny studio apartment in Seattle, so I have nowhere to garden, but I have some friends with houses with little raised garden beds, and so I've talked them into gardening with me. So I have a couple of little garden plots now across the city at my friends' houses.
That's awesome.
But I am missing, really truly missing, having my hands in the soil and being in that space consistently on a daily basis. And so I think that's something I'm sort of trying to work through right now, is, you know, having these different passions, having these different interests that aren't contradictory, but just sort of what feels like exist in different spaces. And so I'm trying to figure out where I can find more overlap.
I'm curious where this love and passion for sustainability and sustainable food systems started. Was this something that was in college, like working at the Forge, or prior to that?
In high school, I got talked into running the garden club at my high school. So that was my first exposure to gardening.
That's cool.
So I did that at my high school. It was called Fight Club, P-H-Y-T-E, I think like Bryophyte. Oh. So we had these shirts and we'd meet every Friday, and it was called Fight Club. And if you can't tell, I was absolutely nerdy in high school. But I ran the fight club. Then, but really, my passion and interest was really nurtured in the garden at Santa Clara and in the classes I was taking too. Different professors who allowed me to explore that passion and curiosity and supported me in that. So that's really where a lot of that passion started. And I think, you know, again, maybe a bit of an aside, but I think one of the reasons why I am drawn back to that, and one of the reasons why I find so much joy from getting my friends into road biking, or maybe reasons why we all felt so much joy as leaders and Into the Wild, is when you are truly passionate about something, care a lot about something, to be able to get other people into that and see their passion and curiosity just kind of like awaken within them is, I don't think that you can, like, I don't think I'm can put a value on that. Mm-hmm. Like that is invaluable. Yeah. There's no amount of corporate dollars that can take me away from recognizing how uniquely valuable that was, that I was able to be in that space. And that people came into the garden, maybe never having been in a garden before, maybe never having thought all too critically about where their food was coming from. And I could go into the greenhouse and I could show them a cauliflower that had just sprouted. And then I could walk into a bed and I could show them what that cauliflower plant looked like a couple weeks later. And then we could go to the back of the garden and I could show them this cauliflower plant that was actually ready to be harvested. We could harvest it together. I'd hand it to them, this beautiful head of cauliflower. I'd kind of talk them through maybe how they wanted to prepare it or cook it for themselves. And they would come back next week and say, I just prepared the cauliflower. It was the most amazing thing ever. Like, you know, you'll keep seeing me here. Like, thank you. That was beautiful. Aww. That's crazy. And Into the Wild, similar things, right? Like, I texted Nick and Pierce with so much excitement when I went back to Wilder Ranch and was mountain biking, because a couple of years earlier, they had showed me the fun that could be had in that space. This sport that they were both so passionate about, they had given me the opportunity to get into that too. And so I think that's a little bit of the fire that I'm missing in my life right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it can't happen in this corporate sustainability space, but I haven't found a way for me to feel that same feeling yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was awesome. And I think it's inspiring to hear at least the efforts that you're doing now in Seattle to find that that community.
We just harvested the first time from the garden the other day. It was some spinach and some different leafy greens. And one of my friends who I got to garden, I had sort of showed him, you know, when you seed too many seeds and then there are a bunch all close together, mm-hmm. you have to sort of thin them out so they each have their own room to grow. So I showed him how to thin out a couple of different rows that we had planted. And I had left town and I said, hey, you need to water when I'm out of town. I'm not going to be here. And he sent me some text one day that was like, hey, I just watered. Also, I thinned the carrot seeds. I think these other seeds still need to be thinned.
Aww.
Right. And I was just beaming. And that's something that, you know, that's part of it that is just, it's invaluable. The fact that then, okay, I showed him how to thin the beet seeds and then he went and did the carrots and it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's like, all right, cool. Now you're in it too.
I feel like passion like that can be contagious, and like seeing your enthusiasm around it, like that gets other people excited. And I think that's so important with something like that.
Yes. And something I have found in later years in college and since leaving college, my thing that I'm excited about could be totally different than your thing that you're excited about. I have a friend who loves sports. She is, you know, super into sports journalism, super into baseball, softball, football, all things sports. And she got me so riled up about the San Diego Padres. I know nothing about baseball, but she had me talking about Tatis and what he was hitting and like all this baseball stuff. And the reality is, and I had her talking and thinking about gardening, and we were just feeding off of each other, exploding with passion for these things that we love so much. And I think that's the thing, is I've in later years in college and since leaving college. It doesn't have to be this way, but this was my experience. This was my timing. People, it doesn't matter if your thing is different than their thing. As long as you're expressing yourself genuinely and expressing what you're passionate about, people will be receptive to it. And if they're not, then they're not the types of people that you want in your life. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm looking at someone and their passion is genuine and what they're exploring or what they're expressing is genuine, then I'm keen to hang out with them and to hear what they have to say. And they're keen to hang out with me and hear what I have to say. And that's been really beautiful recently, is to sort of experience that.
Sorry to interrupt one last time, but we have an announcement from KSCU. This one is called Runaway. Every year, tens of thousands of youth experience homelessness. 1-800-RUNAWAY provides 24-hour access to a nationwide network of housing and support services. Call 1-800-RUNAWAY or go to 1-800-RUNAWAY and we can find and we can end youth homelessness together. Now back to the podcast.
What you were just saying really resonated with me, because as a freshman, I mean, I'm already coming to the end of freshman year, which is crazy. But it's something that I put a lot of thought into, like, who do I want to be friends with? Like, you come onto campus and you just have like thousands of people walking around, and like you make connections and you're trying to figure out which connections are like worth your time, which sounds kind of blunt, I guess, but it's just like you want to make lasting friendships that like fill you up. And so what you're saying is just like amazing to hear, and it's really good advice and good things to think about moving forward.
Yeah. I had this woman, and I think a common theme is in every space that I'm in, I look for like mentors in different ways. I really love investing in different mentorships, informal, formal, whatever it may be, especially with women. And there was this woman at my company who I was kind of struggling early on. It's a remote job, and I was kind of struggling to figure out how much I wanted to invest in these relationships, whether I wanted to keep it kind of strictly business transactional, you show up, you do your job, done, or whether I wanted to invest in relationships more. And I think what she said is that, well, the audio is about to change, so I might as well just describe to the people what I'm saying. I'm plugging in my laptop just because it's about to die, but I'm back now. So she said to me, I walk into my like echoey bathroom. She said, you know, you don't have to invest in a relationship with everyone. There are some people who might be more receptive to a relationship, to some sort of work relationship. And there might be some people who want to log on and have it be more strictly business. And that was really helpful. And I think about that in the context of work. And I think about that in the context of reciprocity and just ensuring that in relationships that you choose to invest in, that, you know, if I'm going to invest a lot in this, that I'm going to get something in return too. And that's something I think about in the workplace. That's something I think about in my friendships with people. And yeah, I think it's that's really important for me to think about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we have one last question. We have 5 minutes, but and you've talked a little bit about this. So, but how did your time with Into the Wild influence how you approach these situations in life and your future? And is there anything that you kind of fall back on with either your relationships or trips that you led with Into the Wild?
Yeah, I think it is absolutely the community aspect of it that has, really transformed the ways in which I got into a lot of these sports, and now the ways in which I engage with other people, and also, continue to try and inspire other people that I'm with to get into these same things too. And so I think that level of community and embracing that community, fostering that community, has been something that I was almost handed in Into the Wild. I didn't have to do too much work to get this, to get that community. Mm-hmm. But having it be something that I'm working, you know, proactively working to create for myself now, I really value that space, that community, that level of access. And so now I'm working to sort of, foster something similar for myself.
I love that. And I totally feel that already as a freshman. And I'm really grateful to have been welcomed onto the team and know I have these people by my side for the next few years. But with that, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and all the wisdom you had to share with us. So thank you so much. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, y'all. That was a great chat. I'm smiling big.
Thank you.